At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
We started talking about like halftime performances we love, and I mentioned during the actual segment last segment about how I like the Papa Shot guy a lot, but I've never been asked to do any of those type of things in any sort of way. When I was a kid growing up, we at Wrigley one day, my little brother got chosen to be one of the kids that goes out in the field ahead of time, and like you get to be with the player as they like sign the baseball, and then they just kind of like usher you on your way. Kevin Ori was the third baseman at the time, and he got to be the guy to go up and like Kevin Ori like signed the baseball and all that. All these great players on some of those, kind of whatever Cubs teams. But anyway, Kevin Ori was the guy. And it was like, but they give you like a jersey and all that stuff, and that's pretty cool. And then I cut you off. I'm like, I got to hear this on the air. You were telling me the Cavs have asked you to do something before?
Yeah, so it was not a halftime show, obviously, because they actually pay people to enjoy those things.
Yeah, those are worth $5,000 a pop, apparently.
Right. No, I got approached. I was at a game earlier in 2022.
Okay.
And we showed up earlier walking around. I think we were waiting for one of our other friends. It was me and a buddy. And two people on the Cavs approached us like, hey, do you want to play a game? And absolutely. I mean,
that sounds very Squid Games. Second Squid Games reference of the day, but it's like, hey, do you want to play a game? Okay.
Yeah, I'll take my chances.
Yeah, why not? Like, if a Cavs person approaches you, nothing bad's going to happen. Okay. Yeah. So you say yes. You don't know what game you're playing.
Nope. Have no clue what game we're playing. They're like, meet us down here by this time in the game, and we'll explain what you're doing.
I would hope it's the Deal or No Deal key bank game that they play at both Guardians and Cavs games. Well, you're just guaranteed to win money. And there's no will I, won't I in that equation. It's just I'm going to win money as long as I just do something with logical sense. But all right, go ahead.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't getting that one because there was two of us and they asked us both.
So okay.
Unfortunately, I knew we weren't in store for that. But I went down there and all of a sudden we're suiting up. There's like the little gym school scooters that are on there. They have the two handles they always run over your fingers with.
Yeah.
And just giant like Velcro onesies of hippos. And I got asked to go out onto the floor and play a giant game of Hungry Hungry Hippos.
How many people were playing with you then? Was it like five people?
Yeah, four teams of two.
Four teams of two? Oh, so you had to play with your buddy then?
Yeah. So
what'd you play for? Do you know?
It was like a a bag of like some signed merch and stuff from a player.
Okay.
There was like a memorabilia and some other Cavs merch, maybe a gift card.
I say, do you know, which is mean of me, because that implies that you lost and then don't remember what the prize is.
No, it's okay. You're right.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
No,
so what happened?
We came up short by
not
like,
hungry enough.
We came up short by like, I think we were in second. We missed it by like, they're like little plastic basketballs. Ones
did you
that
lose
they throw
to
out.
Like the Golden Girls, or did you lose to like two dudes that look like you?
No, I think it was like two guys that looked more like us.
Okay.
We were close. We put my friend into the hippo costume. And then I was the one pushing. I have to hold his legs like wheelbarrow style and push him into the center of the floor and pull him back as
who,
he has like
a tub. Decided who wore the hippo suit? Was that you or the Cavs?
That was me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was me and my friend.
Like, I'm like, not doing that in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to get in the hippo suit. Yeah, so he's much taller than I am. He's like 6'4". He's lanky. He's got long arms. I was like, hey, take it. I can handle pushing you back and forth. And very interestingly, also made like a post on SportsCenter. It's like the caption's like only in Ohio. It's an Instagram post. It has like
video?
A million views.
Do you have video of this?
Yeah.
I want to see video. Okay. All right. Well, show me in between the break. Okay. All right. So you lost. You ended up coming in second. And then afterwards, what happened? Did the Cavs like even say like, good job, good effort? Or did they just usher you off and that's it?
Yeah. No, they're like, you know, make sure you take off the hippo stuff. They're like, good job. That was fun. You guys did good. Good try. Okay. And now you can go back to your seats. Have fun.
See, that's fun. I don't know that I want to do that now at this point in life, but you're like 23, 24 years. How old are you?
Yeah, 23.
23? Yeah, so this was 3 years ago. Like, that's the perfect age to be doing stuff like that, and just who cares?
Yeah, you don't get anything better. Like, that
35, I get injured, and I start suing.
That's like the entire... I don't know, not one of my friends, that if somebody approached us and they're like, do you want to play a game during one of the breaks? Yeah, absolutely. I'll go out there.
Have to play.
Yeah.
Have to play.
Doesn't matter what the game. Don't even explain it to me. I'll figure it out when I get there.
I've never been asked. I don't know what it is about my face, I guess, but I've never been asked to do any of that stuff. I've never even been on the Jumbotron at a sporting event either.
Never on the Jumbotron?
I've never been on the Jumbotron, no. Just not a thing for me, I guess. I don't know.
Been on a Jumbotron a ton of times.
Or you know what? I take that back. When I was 11 years old, I was at a Bulls game, and I took my little brother's friend came with us, and he was like, he's nine, but he was like a chunky fellow at nine, right? And so he took his shirt off, and he started waving it around. Like a nine-year-old kid, just a chunkster, and just started shaking his belly and stuff, and we got on the Jumbotron then. But like, it's been years. It's been a very long time. None of that stuff ever happens to me, it feels like.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me now. I usually go for the people who are like very loud, animated, and cheery, and I usually just end up in like the background of shots every game.
Yeah, and that part of it makes sense, too. At a sporting event, I'm very much like I am at my couch. You guys would be shocked to know I am so emotionless. There's a lot going on in my brain. There's a lot of yelling happening in my brain. I am emotionless when I watch games. First off, we watch so many games. It just is what it is. It's very hard to really get me like up and animated and surprised. But ultimately, I just kind of sit back and relax.
Yeah, the only thing that would get me animated is like, I don't know, if one of your star third basemans got up, maybe got hit by a pitch, maybe got up, started swinging on a bad shortstop in the same division. It's about the only things that I think would get me riled up.
Were you at that game?
I was not, no.
No.
No. I got to hear the hammy call. I was listening to that.
Yeah, that's not being at the game, though.
No, not even close. Might have been better. Might have been, I wasn't screaming in my car, but
well, you just find out who the boxing fans are really quick. Like, yeah. They're like, okay, that person likes MMA a lot. Like, we got it. They got a 2-for-1 tonight, didn't they? All right, 216-474-0092. Danny Cunningham joining us in about 15 minutes. So I wanted to ask you about this, because you'd mentioned something before the show that I thought was interesting. So, you know, obviously, I'm a big Shador guy, and, that's just... who I am, it's what I am at this point. And I always thought you were in the same camp with me. I always looked at you as like a brother in arms when it came to Shador. Like, I know the people at the station that I consider to be brothers in arms in the Shador Sanders battle. Earl's one of them. Spencer's one of them. You're one of them. Our guy, G. Bush, who's going to be with me tomorrow, he's also one of them as well. And I think that's about where the clock runs out when it comes to Shador Sanders supporters. Ken likes Shador Sanders. I don't ever consider him a supporter because he flip-flopped too much. I think Anthony's all right with Shador, but I would never say he's a Shador supporter. Nick wants to be one if it goes well, but if it doesn't go well, I think we all know where that's going as well. And then Baskin and Phelps, actually, I don't know where they stand on that. I'm very, very lost on where they stand on that one. Today I saw a clip about them talking about Dylan Gabriel being the starter in week one, so they're just on an island right now. They're to be determined. But I thought you were one person with me, and now you're telling me before the show maybe you're not.
Yeah, so, and I was. I mean, you're absolutely correct. I think that, very interesting, we actually took that claim the exact same day. Like, I walked in, I was doing the night show when we were doing the off-season stuff, and I was like, I think today's the day I make a claim for Shador. And I come in, I'm listening to your show, and you made a claim for Shador. I was like, wow, That's actually something. It wasn't a piggyback. I walked in with it.
The first time, like January 4th, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think it was right around that.
Okay, all right. So you were there early. Okay.
Yeah, it was the first day. I was like, all right, I'm ready to make a claim. Like, I went back and watched the tape.
It's like, it shouldn't be a shock to people that it's like, oh, wow, why did we choose random January 4th? It's like, well, all the games were done being played. What more information did I need at that point about his playing abilities? Now, yeah, obviously there's more things that can come out for how the NFL views him, sure. But my knowledge and what I perceive Shedeur Sanders to be, the hay's in the barn at that point. Like, we do 4 months worth of draft coverage, and rightfully so. A lot of that, though, is trying to figure out how the NFL views this player and the jockeying for a position attached to it. Not much should really be about whether or not you think the quarterback could play. Like, if you've done your homework, you know on January 4th whether or not Shedeur Sanders can play football.
Yeah, so I was all in, fully Shedeur. I did my Browns quarterback big board. He was number one the entire time. Did not change. He was ahead of everybody for who I wanted the Browns to have.
Right, the big board. Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot about the big board. Yeah, you're a big supporter the entire time, even as it was waffling, and it felt like, I mean, Cam Ward was clearly above Shedeur Sanders in everyone's mocks at a certain point, and you kept on the big board with Shedeur at the top. All right, so we appreciated that. Now, how have you soured? Because just like in January, they haven't played any football games.
Yeah, so the thing for me is, I don't know that I'm not off the Shedeur train where I'm like, I'm not supporting.
This isn't a speeding ticket, by the way.
No, it's like maybe like 0.5, 2%, somewhere in that range of like, hey, the speeding ticket, I think it bothered me more than it bothered you and Nick at the
time.
It
didn't bother me in the slightest bit.
Yeah, like
young kids go fast in cars. It happens.
Yeah, and I was mostly in the same approach, but I'm like, you know who you are. Like,
I also don't look at it as some big referendum of that being your decision-making process. No. I am a very responsible adult. I drive like an extremely... I'd just say somebody that doesn't drive very fast, okay? Like, I don't go over the speed limit. I haven't had a ticket in 15 years, but... I did have a ticket 15 years ago, and it was going pretty fast, okay? And, like, maybe that was my wake-up call. But, like, I've always been a responsible adult. I've always done very responsible decision-making. And even there, I mean, I used to speed as a kid. Like, that's just a thing that young kids do.
Yeah, same thing I do. I mean,
I'm not wiping it away. I'm not saying he should be doing it. I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying it is a thing that young kids do.
Right, same thing for me. The same age as Shedeur. I have, like, 4 tickets via camera. Not going like an absurd. I'm not going 101, but I was going faster than I should have been.
We talking Parma camera?
I don't think it was a Parma camera. I think it was like 2 or 3 different cameras.
That camera gets everybody. I hate that camera. All right, go ahead.
But just to the point right now where like everything that we've watched, everything that we've seen, it's like there's so much national media attention on Shedeur, which we knew was coming, but so much positive of like I'm sitting there watching pre-speeding ticket. Colin Cowherd go out there and be like, he looks like he's the best in camp. Right. I'm like, I've talked to 6 different people who were sitting there at the camp who said, no, he was not the best in camp. It was like, hey, he was like comparable with Dylan Gabriel, or maybe it was better this day and, you know, just even with him that day. But Joe Flacco looked the best in camp, or Kenny Pickett looked the best in camp today. It was never far and away. It's always Shedeur. And I think it's gotten to the point where it's, okay, it's this. I'm hearing...
Well, so the difference there for myself, mm-hmm. and when you finish, I swear, but the difference for myself there was that although Shedeur wasn't day in, day out the very best, I thought Shedeur was the most consistently at the top of everyone's, you know, boards when we were talking about who had the best day or who didn't have the best day. The people I check in with that are in Berea, it was constantly, yes, Shedeur looked good. Hey, yeah, maybe Joe Flacco looked better on this day, but Shedeur looked good. And then they'd say, yeah, Kenny Pickett, not great today. Or all of a sudden you fast forward and it was a Dylan Gabriel. Oh boy, we've seen some better throws from him. That was not a very sharp day. And I never felt like we had one of those days with Shedeur. I gave Shedeur credit for the consistency attached to his game, which is something that I thought he displayed in college at an extremely high level. And I always think it's something that differentiates yourself from people that do it at the highest of levels. That consistently, and it's not a boom or bust, it's a day in, day out. We know what we're getting from you. And that's what I liked about Shedeur with the minicamps.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. He was consistent in everything that I heard. I didn't hear that Shedeur had like awful days. It was like he was fine today or he was good today. I just, from everything that's circulating around it, it's like, okay, well, he has a longer ramp up process to learn the playbook, and he might be farther behind than these quarterbacks. And in the Browns' mind, they drafted him as QB4. In a lot of people's eyes, they're viewing him right now as QB4. It's not like he got up and ran away with the job. I'm not to the point where I'm like, I don't think Shedeur's going to be good. I just think, for me, a lot of the hype aspect and me being like, Shedeur's going to be absolutely great this year, is kind of fluttered. It's died. Like, I've soured on the idea that he could come in and essentially be the Browns' savior, at least for this year. Like, maybe he shows something to give you enough to go to next year, and I'm completely open to that possibility. I hope that's the case. But I'm kind of out on 2025 being, like, the year of the Sanders.
I don't know how you got here. We haven't really seen him do anything.
No, we haven't. It's just weird.
I just don't know how you could have liked him in college and liked him in the pre-draft process, and now you're just out. We haven't seen him do anything.
But I think it's so much less on Shador, the player, on why I've soured. Because I don't think I soured on him.
Is it the Browns' perceived viewpoint of him?
I think it's Maury's, yeah.
I wouldn't let that get in your way. And the only reason why I say that is because, one, I can't trust anything the Browns say anyway. They constantly tell you one thing while meaning something completely different. They never stay with what their word is to begin with anyway. Like right now, they're telling you they love Kenny Pickett. Okay, if I woke up tomorrow and they traded Kenny Pickett, is anybody surprised? I'm not surprised in the slightest bit. So I wouldn't let whether or not they believe in Shador or their perception of Shador, I wouldn't let that cloud you. Like, if you think the kid can play and you thought that in the pre-draft, you should still think that now. Nothing has changed.
And again, it hasn't changed on the fact that, like, I don't know that maybe souring on Shador is the wrong idea because I don't think I've soured on him as a player or his ability. I think I've soured on the fact that I don't think he's going to get the opportunity, and I don't know that, truthfully, they're going to set him up in a way that's going to allow him to succeed this year and stop them from drafting a quarterback next year.
So I like that perception better. Like, we know Shador does need pieces around him, and we know one of the problems he had at Colorado, he had no offensive line, he had no run game, and he still made something happen out of that. But at the next level, it's a little bit different. You got to have some pieces, you got to have a good environment to go into, and if you want to tell me you don't think he'll be great because the environment's not going to let him, that's a different story. I can understand that perception, and I get that completely, because right now the Browns have not done enough with this offensive line, and it's an unproven run game at that. I mean, I like Judkins a lot, I like Samson a lot, but that's a very unproven room in many ways to suggest that he's going to have the support to be able to just take off. It's really hard as a rookie to be given 8-9 games and just go off to the races, especially in a situation where you don't have many stars. That's what made Jaden Daniels so impressive to me. Jaden Daniels, there's two Pro Bowlers on that entire team last year. It's Daniels and it's Scary Terry, and that's it. I mean, that's it. It's not a very strong roster. So you want to tell me that? I can understand that.
But at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I wouldn't let it cloud your judgment completely. Because I think in that scenario, that still tells me you believe in Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback.
Yes.
You just don't believe in the Browns' handling of Shedeur Sanders. And I think we might have to have an impasse there at some point. And for that, I won't dock you in that regard. All right, Danny Cunningham. We'll get back into the LeBron James conversation. And also, where exactly do the Cavs go from here? He'll join us next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. You find him on the Inside Shot on Substack. He is, of course, Locked On Cavs as well. His name is Danny Cunningham, and he joins us here on 92.3. What's up, Danny? How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We're good. We are trying to find a way to honor Red Panda, and I imagine you being the big NBA guy you are, you're a Red Panda fan. Jake was telling us about how the time he got to play Hungry Hungry Hippos at one of the breaks at a Cavs game. He came in second place to two people that, as far as he tells, were in just as good a shape as him, but I don't know about that.
Oh, probably better shape.
Do we have video of this? Like, I would love to be able to watch that and dissect that film if possible.
So he showed me video in between the break. So it went very mega viral at the time. It was like 3 years ago. It was on ESPN. It made SportsCenter and everything. And the caption is like, of course in Ohio they play Hungry Hungry Hippos.
I'm going to need Jake to text me that video when we are done with this segment.
I can do that, Danny. I can figure that out. You can see like the side of my head pop in for about 6 seconds or like 0.6 seconds.
I can't wait to find out what it looks like.
Yeah, that side was working, though, Danny. It was working. All right, we've been working on LeBron James theories. Windhorst earlier today making the suggestion that, how do you phrase it? The door's unlocked now?
Yeah, it's not open.
It's not
it's
open.
Unlocked.
It's just unlocked. The door is unlocked in regards to a LeBron trade. And then you have the Kurt Heelan report that the Cavs are not that interested in LeBron James. What do you make of that report that the Cavs would not be that interested in LeBron, even if the door is unlocked?
I think that report is that it would cost a lot for an uncertain future of LeBron James. If this were happening 3 or 4 years ago, and let's just pretend that the Cavs as constructed now were the same thing 3 or 4 years ago, where they were really, really good, even though they weren't at this level that time ago. But because LeBron is in his 40s, like, this is such an uncertain future that whatever team, if there is a team that makes a trade for him, they're getting an uncertain version of LeBron, because what he's done has been unprecedented for somebody of his age, for somebody that has played as many games as him. Like, if he stays healthy this year, he's going to become the NBA's all-time leader in games played. And he's still playing at an all-NBA level, which is obviously not something that we have ever seen before. But you don't know how long that is going to last. And for the Cavs to make a move like this, because they're in the second apron, it would be a hefty price. And is that hefty price worth it if you're getting this version of LeBron for 2 or 3 years, so you get multiple cracks at it in the postseason? Probably. Is it worth it for 1 year of LeBron, when we also do know that when big things like this happen, they do often take time to work themselves out? It's not often an instant thing where you go into it and it's like, okay, we are going to win the championship this year right now. So I do think that if it's a 1 year thing, I'm just not so sure that it would be worth it from a Cavs perspective. That said, if he finds a way to get bought out of his contract from the Los Angeles Lakers, that is when I think, yes, that is, it makes the most sense, because you don't have to give up anything. And I don't know that LeBron would want to play on the minimum, but that is kind of the avenue that I see for him being on the Cavs this upcoming season, if that happens.
Danny, obviously, it takes two to tango, so the Cavs would have to want LeBron. LeBron would want to have to be here. Now, the picture obviously is circulating on social media today, him golfing in Ohio, wearing a hat that says, "Welcome home." Is this LeBron basically trolling everybody, just knowing that this is going to pick up traction, or is this something you put any stock into?
I think that he was playing at a course that is very close to a lot of things that he has in the Akron area, with House 330 in the I Promise School, that the course he played, which, as Jonathan knows, is one that I frequent, and I actually, believe or not, was invited to play there this morning by a relative of mine who texted me at roughly 8:15 and said, "You're not going to believe this, LeBron James is in the group in front of me at this course. And I, of course, did not believe it until I got photo evidence. I thought he was just pulling my leg because I said, hey, I can't golf today. But
wait, what was standing in the way of LeBron James? Like, your job is basketball, right? Like, just go over there and be like, I'm doing basketball things.
Do you think had I known LeBron James was going to be golfing there, I would have turned down the invitation?
No.
Turned down the invitation.
But once
was an invitation from days ago.
Oh no! But once you got the text, like LeBron is here. So you turned it down days prior, and then you still got the text this morning. Once you got the text this morning, that's when you got to get in the car and just go. And then I don't know. Maybe you play as a five-some in back of LeBron. But like I can't live with that. That's like all these Taylor Swift fans right now that are living with the reality that they could have gone to JoJo's restaurant yesterday and seen Taylor Swift. But like, hey, plans happen.
For as disappointed as I am anytime I have to turn down a round of golf, I don't think I've ever been as disappointed when I found out about
your
that.
Life
we'll
motto.
We'll
you yell at me all the time for turning down rounds of golf. Your life motto is always go play the round of golf. Like, how is this existing right now? This is blowing my mind. Of all the people.
Because I played five straight days over the weekend, and I'm playing tomorrow. That's why I needed to take 2 days off.
And you miss a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I can't believe it. Would you have purposely, would you have hit into LeBron so you could have, like, a moment? Man, not hit into him, because obviously that's bad. That's bad etiquette. But how would you, he was in the group in front of your family member?
Yes. So essentially what I think would have been the right play there, and I do think this happened because I don't think that there were three other guys with him. I do think that at some point they played through. And that, I think, would have been the proper move. Just
that
like,
been
know, playing a little fast.
Imagine piping one right in front of LeBron.
Play through here on this par three or something, hit the green, like that would have been the
you
move.
You hit one 320 in front of LeBron. LeBron turns and says, wow, nice shot. That's your life. Life made. Like, that's the best moment you're ever going to have. Like, that's it. You could die happy at that point. I mean, now also, other story on this. You shank one in front of LeBron.
The complete opposite. Holy opposite.
You just got to envision the time that you got a chance to hit in front of LeBron, and LeBron just made fun of you behind your back.
I imagine there would have been a lot of jitters on that tee box playing through a group that has LeBron James in it.
Oh, man, that would have been like, that's an all-time story right there. And so I'm not going to keep repeating it because you know this already. You've lived this in your head all morning long, that reality. You know, it would have killed me, though, if I found out that LeBron, like, didn't play fast. You know, Danny, I don't care if you're good, if you're bad. Just get in the hurry-up offense when you're on the golf course.
So I do think he's a little newer to the game. I do understand that. Like, I think he's in the process, if I had to guess, of picking the game of golf up. I don't know how fast or slow he played. I don't have much more information that I can share as far as how his round actually went as of right now.
All right, let me ask you this, though. So if it's not the Cavs, and it sounds like unless there's a buyout, you don't think it's going to be likely that it'll be the Cavs. Is there a chance that it's another team, or do you feel like the Lakers are just always destined to have LeBron until he retires?
I wouldn't say that they're destined to have LeBron until he retires, but I think the chance of him getting traded are very low this year. And then he will be a free agent next year because he opted in this contract. He obviously did not extend his contract with the Lakers, so he will hit free agency next year. And I think when next year rolls around, that is when you can't rule anything out. It could be the Cavs maybe next year. I don't know what things are going to look like in Cleveland. I don't know what things are going to look like anywhere because this league changes, I think, more frequently and quicker than any other professional sports league. So I wouldn't say that he is destined to finish his career in Los Angeles the way I would have probably 2 or 3 years ago. But I also can't necessarily predict the future there. But I think when he becomes a free agent next summer, that's sort of when it becomes all bets are off.
Danny, if he goes somewhere else and it ends up being in the East, how much should the Cavs be paying attention to that and be worried about that being reality that, you know, if he wants to go and, say, join the Knicks, if they want to try to figure that out somehow, that your direct competition next year is LeBron James?
So I think it would be very awkward. It would be very weird. And truthfully, just from like a selfish standpoint, I would prefer if LeBron stayed in Los Angeles or came to Cleveland, or even, I guess, to a different extent, goes back to Miami. Because what do we see on the internet all the time? We see those photos of stars that are past their prime wearing very strange jerseys, right? Like there's the one of Hakeem and Patrick Ewing in Orlando and Toronto jerseys playing against each other. It's like, that can't be real. I think LeBron should be above that. Like, I think that he should. He's played for three teams, which is fine. I think playing for a different team at the end of his career would be something that I really hope that he can avoid. So I do hope that that's a situation that we don't have to think about.
Ty Jerome says he wasn't given the option to return to the Cavs. Did the Cavs just overreact to his playoff performance?
I don't know if that's it entirely. I do think the playoff performance did bring his market down, certainly from what everybody anticipated it being. I think it probably did cost him about $5 million a year, the fact that he was unplayable in the second round for the most part against the Indiana Pacers. I don't know if it is Ty's playoff performance in particular or the way the rest of the playoffs went, not necessarily for the Cavs, but like the NBA as a whole, because I do think the Cavs have put together a very clear strategy that Kobe Altman has tried to implement this offseason, where they have lost two players from the roster in Isaac Okoro and Ty Jerome, two guys who were one-way players. Ty was a very good offensive player, but he was not a good defender whatsoever. And, of course, we know Isaac Okoro, very good defender, but somebody that opposing teams just had no interest in guarding during the postseason. And the Cavs have replaced those guys with two guys in Lonzo Ball and Larry Nance. And, of course, the big if here is health for both of those guys. But two guys that can play on both ends of the floor and are much, much, much more conducive to having a postseason rotation because they cannot be played off the floor. If you look at Oklahoma City, if you look at Indiana, they don't have guys, for the most part, that are one-way players. And I do think there's room for some one-way player ability, but I think it needs to be more so at the star level than at the role player level. And I think that's part of the thinking with Ty Jerome. And I also think the Cavs knew that Ty probably wanted to play a little bit more than he did this past year. He played less than 20 minutes a game. And I don't think the Cavs could offer him that even before the Lonzo Ball trade.
And so obviously the flip is that as they go and they get and pay Sam Merrill $9.5 million a year. In your eyes, is Sam that two-way player? Has he done enough on the defensive end to become that?
The Cavs certainly think so. I think that the Cavs might think Sam Merrill is a little bit of a defender than I think Sam Merrill is, but I do think Sam Merrill is a good defender. He's not somebody that I look at and say, well, yes, he is going to be targeted defensively for, I think, obvious reasons. But I do think that he's a defender that has held up relatively well in those settings. I don't think that he's some minus on that end of the floor. I think that he's good enough. He knows where to be. He moves his feet. He does a lot of really good things defensively that you can point to and say, yes, that guy can play in the later rounds of the playoffs. Not to say he's completely matchup proof, but he is much more matchup proof than a Ty Jerome is.
How badly did the Knicks screw up this coaching search and process to end up with Mike Brown?
I mean, this just reeks of James Dolan, doesn't it? Like, I like Mike Brown. Mike Brown is a good coach. This is nothing against Mike Brown. But if you're going to fire Tom Thibodeau, you have to have a plan. And I think that they very clearly did not have a plan when they did this. I've not checked in on that situation since it became clear that Johnny Bryant was not going to be part of that search, because that is kind of how it pertains to my job, was are the Cavs going to lose another assistant coach? And I think it became pretty clear in the process that was not going to be the case. They wanted to go with somebody that is a little bit more experienced, which I do understand, having somebody that has prior head coaching experience in Mike Brown and even James Borrego, who I believe was the other finalist. But man, I just think that there's not that much difference between Tom Thibodeau and Mike Brown. Like, Mike Brown, I think, a little more jovial, but both are defense-first guys. Both are guys that have put together some good offenses in the past, but both are also guys that have kind of gotten to the same point and stuck in the playoffs, right? Like, Mike Brown, while he's had some success as an assistant in Golden State, he hasn't necessarily done that stuff as a head coach. Tom Thibodeau had a lot of success as an assistant in Boston way back in the day, but he's gotten to kind of the same point every year as a head coach. And I just think that this is, you know, it's a different face and things will look different. He'll play more guys. I promise you eight guys are going to play regularly for the Knicks next year as opposed to four this past year, basically. But I just ultimately think the Knicks didn't really get better or worse by changing their coach.
All right, Danny, where are you playing the next couple of days that kept you from LeBron?
I am at the Quarry tomorrow. One of my really good friends from college is getting married this weekend in Canton, and he has a group of, there's like 12 of us. I think there are three tee times tomorrow morning. So I'm doing that, and then I will, as you can imagine, find somewhere to play this weekend at a certain point.
All right. People love the Quarry, so hit them straight.
It's the best.
Enjoy it. Have a good time. I'll be at Sleepy Hollow on Friday, so if you happen to end up there, just give me a holler, okay?
I will let you know, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Well, I wasn't planning on it, but I'm just letting you know where I'm playing. But the Quarry is awesome. People rave about it, and I've never gotten a chance to play there, but I'm sure. Have you ever played there before?
Yes, I can't say I frequent it because it's an hour and 20 minutes away from me. But
that's it. It's just too long for me. Yeah.
If you like elevation changes in your golf course,
I'll hate it.
This is the place
to go.
No,
all right. Never playing there. Hate it. Can't stand it. All right. Thank you, Danny.
Appreciate you, Danny.
See you guys.
All right. Good stuff. Danny, obviously, in the inside shot there. Find him with his Substack. And, of course, he joins us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hate elevation changes. There's a lot of it in Northeast Ohio, so I can't complain too much. But if I know a course has elevation changes, I'll stay away for a little bit. I'll just hang out at Sleepy Hollow. That's cool for me. All right. We come on back. I want to hear from you guys. Did the Cavs overreact to Ty Jerome's playoff performance? 216-474 to below 92. We'll do it next. It's Jonathan Peterlin and Jake Volnick Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. In case you're just joining us, Danny told us a story last segment about how he was asked to go play golf this morning. LeBron was at the course that Danny was asked to go play, and the people that he was asked to play with was the group in back of LeBron James. So if he had said yes, he'd be playing in the group in front of LeBron that at one point got ushered through to go past LeBron's group and play ahead of him. And have you got video of LeBron's swing on a golf course? Because as far as I know, LeBron has not been playing golf for a very long time. It probably looks wrecked. Do you know how many millions of views Danny would have gotten out of that? That might be the biggest thing he's ever done in his career. If he got video of LeBron swinging and it looking not great, because people love to tear athletes apart that don't know what they're doing on the golf course. Now, then on the other side of that, hasn't been playing long. If LeBron looked awesome, that might also get millions of views because, like, how is he just awesome at everything?
I think people would just expect LeBron to be awesome at golf. I think that'd be the assumption.
That's the cool thing about golf. Nobody looks awesome at golf when you first start playing golf.
Right. Like, he could look terrible, but I feel like everybody's assumption was LeBron does everything.
The bet is that he looks bad. Only because everyone looks bad when they don't play golf. Like, golf is one of those sports. Very rarely do you have somebody that's just a natural at golf. It's just not really a thing in that sport. Yeah. You have people that have never picked up a baseball bat, and then they all of a sudden pick up a baseball bat, and they look like they're Mark McGwire. Like, they just look like they're awesome. That's a thing in baseball. That does happen. I know hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, but there are people that are just naturals. There's a whole movie named after The Natural, right? Like, there are people that are just good at it. Same thing in other sports. Football, basketball, it happens. People at 7 years old just are great at basketball, and it's like, oh, you're okay, you're always great at basketball, and is what it is. But golf's not really that way. So LeBron probably would have stunk. And if you could have taken video of LeBron stinking at golf, that would have gone crazy viral.
Yeah, I'm glad that you spun it that way, because when we were having the conversation with Danny, it was like, hey, this could have been a massive moment. You could have played golf with, like, next to behind LeBron, and it would have been like, I don't think you get much out of that other than the video. Again, the video is the big part, but like,
you get a lot out of it. I'll explain. Emasculating LeBron James.
That do a lot for you.
When is that ever happening in life? Imagine piping a drive 300 yards down the fairway as LeBron looks at you and says, good shot. That was fantastic. Because LeBron knows he can't do that. Imagine there being anything in life that you can do from an athletic standpoint that LeBron can't do, and then being able to do that in front of him. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. Is there anything cooler in life?
So maybe that's the part. I couldn't step up and drive a ball 300 yards.
Yeah,
I would
so
never
like
think
for
about
you,
it.
But
Danny,
that
it would
way.
Make sense.
Danny
yeah.
can do that. Danny plays golf a ton. Danny, he's a very long hitter, too, as far as his drives are concerned. So, like, he could. There's a chance that he hits it perfect, and it is one of those 300-yard blasts right down the fairway that looks awesome, sounds awesome, is awesome, that LeBron just has to, like, game-recognize game-type moment. Like, okay, great, congratulations. But then LeBron has that realization of, for this one athletic thing, Danny has me beat. That kid that I don't know has me beat in that way. Like, that's awesome.
I feel like when you frame it that way, it's less awesome. You're like, that guy, I don't know that guy, but he's good.
Well, he might know Danny. I don't know if LeBron, I have no idea if they have a relationship.
Have no clue, yeah.
He's been covering the Cavs for a while. I don't know if they have a relationship or don't. It makes it even better if they do have a relationship, though.
Oh, by far.
And if, like, they've seen each other in the locker rooms, and then he just kind of thinks Danny's just this, you know, this guy that covers the Cavs, and then sees him do that in front of him. I mean, talk about...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building
a
life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Full points until the end of time with LeBron. He's like, oh yeah, I've seen him golf. He's awesome. Every person he sees would be like, yeah, you don't want to mess with that guy on the golf course, though. Danny, what was that question you had about me leaving the Lakers? Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave the Lakers, and I'm giving that straight to Danny Cunningham because he just emasculated me on the golf course.
Yeah, so you've made it way cooler. Putting Danny into the situation is way cool. Like, I can't even relate to it because I couldn't do that. And, LeBron would have absolutely zero clue who I am.
I mean, so. I just hope Danny sleeps well at night tonight because I know I would not be able to. I know I would be talking about missed opportunity for a very, very long time. Danny spoke on Ty Jerome. And I don't have a million thoughts on Ty Jerome at this point. I think we've gotten crazy into the back end part of this team. In a way that I get it. It's the time of the year and it is what it is. It becomes a little nauseating though. It does. When people are so focused on the Ty Jerome, Sam Merrills of the world, instead of focusing on the actual core four, the pieces that will shape and alter this team into a championship team or not. Ty Jerome being on this team or not being on this team is not changing the Cavs' percentages of winning an NBA title one little bit. But this was Danny talking about Ty Jerome.
I do think the playoff performance did bring his market down, certainly from what everybody anticipated it being. I think it probably did cost him about $5 million a year, the fact that he was unplayable in the second round for the most part. I don't know if it is Ty's playoff performance in particular or the way the rest of the playoffs went, not necessarily for the Cavs, but like the NBA as a whole, because I do think the Cavs have put together a very clear strategy that Kobe Altman has tried to implement this offseason, where they have lost two players from the roster in Isaac Okoro and Ty Jerome, two guys who were one-way players. And the Cavs have replaced those guys with two guys in Lonzo Ball and Larry Nance and are much, much, much more conducive to having a postseason rotation because they cannot be played off the floor.
I look at the Ty Jerome situation, and we can mix and match it any way you want, but we are getting very deep into the weeds, when it comes to what will actually change and alter this team for next year.
I don't think we're that in the weeds about it. Ty Jerome was third in sixth man of the year voting. Like, yes, he's a bench player, but he was one of the best bench players across the NBA, according to everybody that voted.
Yeah, but does not having Ty Jerome change their championship odds in the slightest bit?
I would say that if you look at this team and the way that the guards are constructed,
like the markets didn't move at all.
No, but if Lonzo Ball goes down and you're already without Darius to start the year, so who knows what the health of Darius for the entire season is going to be. But even if you're without Lonzo Ball, you get to the playoffs and your next best guard off the bench is Craig Porter Jr.
I get to the playoffs and I question what Ty Jerome I'm getting, though. I get to the playoffs and I question, are we getting the Ty Jerome we just saw? Like, I think the bet the Cavs are making right now, and I don't think they're wrong in this, they want more 16-game players than they want 82-game players. Now, maybe you'd say they're overreacting to just that one playoff performance or the one playoff series against Indiana, and that's a fair rebuttal you got, but at least they're opening their eyes when people tell them they're not performing in the postseason. They're at least acknowledging it, because for 3 years now, they haven't acknowledged it with Darius Garland.
But part of me is looking at it and going, you didn't acknowledge it. Sam Merrill didn't have a good series against Indiana. He was awful against Indiana. He was averaging, I think, 5 points a game. He shot a 33% from three. He did not have a good series at all. So Sam Merrill's no playoff riser.
Sam Merrill, no, he's not. He does things a little bit differently. It's a fair rebuttal. I just think they look at him and what he does and the specialty that he does, and they just look at it different than Ty Jerome.
Well, what is the specialty for Sam Merrill?
Well, he's going to shoot threes.
Guess who shot a better three ball last year? That's Ty Jerome. He shot it at like 43%, 44%.
And the money, listen, the money and where they were, listen, I would have paid Ty Jerome. I would have found a way, especially since his market came down in a way. I look at this and I thought to myself that way too many people are making an example out of Ty Jerome as if this is all of a sudden going to sink the Cavs. And my perspective on it was, this is not sinking the Cavs. And if anyway, if the Cavs themselves looked at it like in the postseason, we don't think we can trust them, then okay, fine. I agree with you in the point. It's not like Sam Merrill's shown us a bunch either. That part you're not wrong about.
So I think it's a different conversation, because you're not wrong either, because we're looking at where the Cavs are. The main thing here is the Cavs core four in the starting lineup needs to produce. Like, that's getting you out of the second round of the playoffs and getting you to a title. But I think when you talk about the minute things in a close series that you're bound to go through throughout the playoffs, the thing that almost gets you over the hump after your guys are playing how does your bench compare?
If you like Ty Jerome that much, and I like Ty Jerome too, to an extent, but why is it then that they, according to Ty Jerome's own Instagram, he wasn't even given the option to return to the Cavs? Like, what is it about the Cavs that they saw with Ty Jerome and said, no, thank you? I would bet it was a lot to do with this playoff series. I would bet that weighed heavily on it. You make a good argument back, though, with the idea that Sam Merrill's playoff series didn't dictate anything one way or another with them. But what is it about Ty Jerome that they said, we don't trust you in the big-time spots? Maybe it's just the idea that Ty Jerome had so much more of an impact on the offense than Sam Merrill. And if you're going to go ahead and have someone that's a sixth man of the year and be the sixth person in your rotation and everything else, we don't want it to be Ty Jerome, because that's too much of an input from someone like that. Whereas Sam, yeah, you're paying Sam money, but you're not asking Sam to do nearly as much. And if Sam doesn't show up in the postseason like he didn't last year, that's not the end of the world either.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, though. Like, you looked at the Indiana series, if you're the Cavs, and go, oh, Ty did not play well. The difference between Sam not playing well in that series and Ty not playing well in that series is Ty was thrust into the starting role of being the second best player on the court in one of those games. In terms of scoring, I think he was probably the second best scorer on the floor when you had no Darius, you had no Evan, you had no DeAndre Hunter. That's not Ty's role. Like, he's crazy, sixth man.
There's something to the idea that in game five of that Pacers series, they sat him the entire first half, and then in the second half of that series, he had 2 3-pointers, and it looked like he was getting in rhythm, and then Donovan said, no, thank you, I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. Like, you're not touching the ball the rest of the time. Like, there was a trust that was lost with Ty Jerome, and I feel like once that trust was lost, it was just too hard to come back from. And the Cavs, maybe they did it before game five. They were telling you without telling you in many ways. They did this with Okoro in the postseason, too. In blowout games in Miami, it took Okoro well into the third quarter to see playing time. Like, they were telling you who they trust and who they don't trust in those spots. And Ty Jerome just fell out of favor with them. And that Pacers series, in game five in particular, you got to have a spotlight shown on that one. All right. We come on back, we're going to switch to the Browns, and I want to hear from you guys. 216-474 to below 92. Is it too rosy of an approach with Andrew Berry's time here. What one analyst said, we'll have it for you next. It's Jonathan Peterle and Jake Vonick, Afternoon Drive, right here on The Fan.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.